WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. I'm your host, Wes Moss, in a world where the UK is no longer part of the EU. The European Union has lost the British. So let's start out with something easy that doesn't really create a whole lot of emotion, and that's the weather. Brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Today, expect partly cloudy skies in the metro all day. 30% chance of scattered showers and afternoon highs creeping into the low 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy conditions remain in the area. Overnight, low temps in the mid-70s. So today is supposed to creep into the low 90s. It already feels like it is 97. So I think that that's understating really how oppressive it feels outside. Who is no longer oppressed? The British. So today, what are we going to cover? We're going to cover Brexit. And then we're going to move into another topic, Brexit, and then we'll finish up with Brexit. Again, Britain leaves the UK, and I know this is a very big deal, and a huge part of the reason it's a big deal is that it really was not expected. We talked about this over the last several weeks leading up to it. Probably every morning I talk with Scott Slade. The market the day before had been a product of which way Brexit votes were swinging. Whether, and again, of course, just like we do here, there's plenty of polling in the UK. Polling saying Britain's going to stay. You had the leaders. You had David Cameron, who's, again, no longer going to be a leader as he is now leaving as a leader, fully supporting stay. London, which is where we get a lot of our news, obviously, because it's the financial center of Europe. If you looked at the Brexit vote, 72% of London wanted to stay. So you had some very loud voices coming out of a very important place in the UK, overwhelmingly saying, we've got to stay. Of course we're going to stay. Then you look at what the economic impact is, and you see that, and whether this is now, in hindsight, propaganda by the stay camp, that this is just bad for the UK. Why would you vote for something if you're a citizen that's going to cost you money? GDP gets hit by anywhere from 3 to 5% by 2020. Call it up to a full 6% by 2030. It costs every family in the UK $6,000 per year, per household. So why would that vote go through? Just like here. It's the economy, stupid. That's what happens here in America. We typically vote when it's all said and done with our wallets. That has not been the case, or that was not the case this week with Brexit. And I watched this unfold like triple overtime in a football game, watching Thursday night as the votes started to roll in. Dow futures were down 400 or 500 points, and then the vote looked back to kind of even, and then all of a sudden, as the numbers started to really roll in, and ultimately there were close to 30 million votes for this, 52% of the British said, we want to go, we're leaving, 48% stay. So it was very, very close. The polls suggested they would stay in the EU. The odds makers in Vegas, in Ireland, and those are typically very accurate, They pointed towards stay. In fact, there's a function on the Bloomberg terminal that tracked all of these different probabilities into one big number. And a few hours before the vote started, it showed a 90% probability that the UK would remain in the EU. A 90% probability. Then, of course, that effectively did a 180 and the UK is no longer part of the EU. Or it will, within 2 years, when this finally gets executed, they'll no longer be part of the EU. So you had this dramatic surprise from what was being reported. That's never good for markets. Of course, uncertainty is not good, but a full 180 when it comes to an expectation, that's part of the reason we saw the market fall 610 points or the Dow fall 610 points on Friday. So we're here this morning over the next 2 hours to cover what Brexit means for you, what it means for your retirement portfolio, what you should be doing right now, and how to handle this, because it's going to be in the news for a very long time, particularly because the UK just can't leave tomorrow. They can't just pack up shop and go away. There are a couple of years worth of negotiations for them to effectively detach themselves from this much larger union. The larger union was 28 countries. Today it's 27, or will be 27 as the UK goes. Of course, we have this worry that we're going to see all these other exits. France already called for a referendum. We're hearing this. There's elections actually today in Spain. This evening, we'll know potentially of a new ruling party today. And if that potentially means that that new ruling party will want to do the same thing. So there's this whole worry of the unraveling of this giant ball of yarn that right now is relatively intact. Is that going to look like a mess in 2 or 3 years from now? That's, of course, an open question. So we have, does Greece leave? Well, remember that? Grexit. France goes Frexit. Portugal, Departugal. Italy, Italeave. The Czech Republic, check out. These are all real phrases that will come into the vernacular over the next couple of years, potentially the next couple of months. And that's what we'll be on top of here to make sure we're covering that story. So let's figure out really what this means. Of course, the phone lines will be open today. I'm happy to take your calls here live in the studio. We're here for the next 2 hours. You've tuned into Money Matters, by the way, if you're just tuning in on your way to church or golf or brunch or breakfast. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. James Lewis, certified financial planner, venerable advisor from the Brookwood Hills sector of Atlanta, is here with us this morning to help. So let's put all this into context. Friday, of course, wasn't pretty. 600 points on the Dow, that's a big number. Look at it as a percentage basis, it's 3.4% for the Dow, about 3.6% for the S&P 500 as a drawback or a pull down. NASDAQ down a little over 4%. So 600 points sounds terrible. 3.5% sounds bad, but down 1.5% on the week, well, that doesn't sound all that bad, does it? It sounds a lot more normal. Call that a garden variety pullback for the market. So we never can look at these markets in any given day. And of course, if you went to sleep on Monday and woke up on the weekend and saw, oh, the market was down 1.5% for the week, that really doesn't sound all that bad. Remember, we had a big run-up up until Friday because all the polls and the odds makers said, oh, Britain's not good. They're not leaving. So Friday, there was this carnage. But through Thursday, we had this big run-up of about 330 points in the Dow. So you take 330 minus Friday's loss, and for the week, the Dow was only down 274 points. This brings the major averages, the Dow and the S&P 500, effectively back to flat for 2016. Tremendous market activity Friday, though. In the broader markets, particularly in Europe, were a lot worse than we're here. So to some extent, this points to the strength and the safe haven that is the United States and U.S. companies. So if you look at what happened in Britain, ironically, Britain had the least bad market of the day. The FTSE was only down about 3%. But if you looked at country by country in their markets, Spain and Italy, you're looking at close to 12% one-day declines for those broader averages, particular countries. So Europe looked at a 3 to 12% hammering on Friday. But there were things that were actually did pretty well on Friday. If you looked at some of the sectors, if you looked at utilities here in the U.S., Southern Company was actually up 0.25%. Duke Energy was up 0.5%. Defense companies did pretty well. Lockheed Martin was virtually flat on Friday. Raytheon was up on Friday. The utility ETF XLU was up 0.5% on Friday. Bonds, LQD, corporate bond ETF, we talk a lot about here on the show, up 0.5% on Friday. BND, total bond market, up 0.5%. MUB, the total municipal bond market ETF, up 0.75% on Friday. So the reality this week is that if you look at it in total, it was a garden variety down week for stocks when you added everything up. And there were plenty of sectors that did pretty well. So it wasn't quite this sell at all costs, sell everything scenario on Friday, like you thought, like we may have thought it would have been when we have a big political event like this. So what's not so garden variety was obviously the second largest economy in the EU voting to pull out. Remember, Germany is the largest economy within the EU. Britain or the UK, number two. And now they will be no longer once this all the procedurally takes hold. Right out of the gate, you need to understand that even though this impacts sentiment around the world, and that's really so much of this right now, it's really just sentiment. This is a political change. It's not by any means a financial disaster. It's not a financial crisis. Our exports from the United States. So here in the U.S., we export to the U.K. Those exports make up 0.7% of our GDP. So not even 1% of our overall GDP when it comes to the U.K. So if they slow down a little bit because they have less favorable trade relations with the rest of those countries, and again, the trade's not going to just stop overnight because they're no longer part of the EU. Just because the UK slows, it's okay. It really is not going to have an impact here on our economy. The surprise of the vote is what hit markets. Any kind of uncertainty, of course, hurts, especially when this is a widely doubted event that would actually happen. And then you see a 180-degree change from that, from a probability standpoint, and that's what caused this sentiment shift. So much of this sell-off was, A, getting rid of the run-up that happened because the markets predicted that it would not. Then when that got changed, or when that was no longer correct, all of that froth had to go away immediately, plus another couple hundred points. And that's really what happened Friday. So the EU concept, which was, well, gosh, we got to go. A lot of Brexit covered. So there's plenty to talk about here still. I know that we'll have calls on hold. Feel free to call in this morning. I will get to the phones and we'll answer your questions. And I know we want to talk this through, particularly as it relates back to your portfolio. And we do need to be careful about our international holdings. I want to get to that. I wrote it in the AJC this weekend about Brexit. The second bullet point really was about how this impacts your 401k plan and particularly target date funds. I want to talk about that here on Money Matters. So we're going to go quick news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters straight ahead right here on WSB.
That's Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters on the Sunday post the UK leaving the EU. Call it Brexit. So remember that why the EU was founded to begin with. The union itself that we know of is really formed in 1993, but the genesis of it happened effectively after World War II, when European countries never wanted to have to revisit the carnage that they felt during really World War I and World War II. So the countries got together and said, we've got to bring ourselves together similar to the United States so that this never happens again. But it was really 93 when the Maastricht Treaty went into force, which formed this EU. What they didn't form was a political union. It was really an economic union. So partially or originally bringing together all those countries so they wouldn't fight. And then, of course, an economic agreement so that it was more efficient for these countries to do business with each other. So by the time the 90s rolled around, the EU putting all this together was to make trade easier. Border crossing easier so that commerce could be more like the U.S. So then, of course, the euro replaced all the different currencies. So in 1999, the Italian lira went away, the drachma, the franc, the Deutschmark, the Spanish peseta, and all in 1990, those were replaced by the euro currency that we know today. But the U.K. never accepted the euro. They kept the pound, so they've always had the pound. Yes, there's going to be change. Yes, they have to renegotiate their trade agreements with all the other countries. They're going to figure out immigration again, new immigration policies. But their economy will by no means stop. That's not going to happen at all. Could it slow down? Could it lead to further exits within the European Union? Yes, all of that potentially could happen. But it will by no means cease commerce in the $16 trillion euro union. Well, really, let's call it the $13 trillion European Union now, because of the UK will no longer be part of that, and they're about $3 trillion. Commerce will continue. The world is not ending. The EU is going to go through some pretty heavy renegotiations and plenty of policy changes potentially. More on all of this and how it should impact or could impact your retirement straight ahead in More Money Matters right here on WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Well, good morning. Let's start with weather. That's an easier topic to cover than Brexit. Let's just call it hot and incredibly uncomfortable for the rest of the day and the rest of the summer. Weather brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Let's talk about the European Union, and let's talk about Brexit and what's happening here, of course. And if you miss all this and you don't have time to listen to Full Money Matters today, of course, I did about a 10-minute update on Facebook Live, which is a new feature that Clark Howard taught me how to use. It's not that hard to use, but you do effectively just, instead of posting something, you hit live update and it's a video and it just records. So I did that yet on Friday, and I did a 10-minute explanation about Brexit, what it means, and particularly moving forward, in conjunction with the Atlanta Journal, the AJC article that I did for this weekend. So that is in the paper right now. I don't know if it was yesterday or today. It's online, of course. What 5 ways Brexit impacts your investments. Number 1, what it means for the U.S. market. 2, how this will impact your 401k. 3, what does this mean for the U.S. economy? 4, what's next for the U.K.? And 5, what should I do now as an investor here in the U.S.? Let's get through some of this, because we need to know how this new political change, it's a major political change, is going to impact all of us. Let's talk about what this means for U.S. markets. Now, we know what happened. The vote was close. Part of the reason there was a reaction Friday that was relatively severe. 600 points is a big move down. Putting that in context, though, remember that the pullback was only about 1.5% for the week. And that is a very garden variety down week for the market. 600 points sounds like a lot. We'd run up almost 350 points before that in just the few days leading up to the vote. Down 1.5% for the week, not that big of a deal. It just felt emotionally difficult because so much of it happened in one day. None of us like the roller coaster. Investors just don't like roller coaster markets. It's not easy. It does, however, create a lot of opportunity. And this is the nature of markets. Nobody said it was easy being an investor. If it was that easy, we wouldn't have an almost 10% long-term average rate of return. And that, remember, is the number. Do I expect to get a 10% rate of return on average over the next 5 years? No. Because our economy has slowed down. We are not growing at 3.5% a year. It's closer to 2 to 2.5%. Do we still have a decent stock market over the next couple of years? The outlook, yes. But it'll be difficult to see that same full 10% rate of return that we've averaged for so, really, that's the long-term average of the market. Now, what does this mean for U.S. markets? History, we go back to history, and we get a lot of context for this. We did a study this week that pulled what I would consider difficult market updates or market events. I call these crisis events. Going all the way back to 1907. Crisis or panic of 1907. Pearl Harbor. Cuban Missile Crisis. JFK assassinated. Arab oil embargo. Financial panic of 1987, the invasion of Panama, Gulf War, Asian stock market crisis, world trade and Pentagon terrorist attacks, 9/11, Lehman Brothers collapses. So many of these are all scary events. Market crash of 1929, Germany invades France. These are major, major political, economic, social events that have happened in our history, and all of them are very scary. And I would contend everything that I just listed is scarier than what just happened, by the way. But what is the, but this event, Brexit, will be on that list forever. This is a historical period of time. This is a historical vote. EU's together from 1993 all the way until 2016, and then boom, the unravel begins, at least one piece of it. So we go back and we look at history to provide some context here. The majority of crisis events in the past century have actually led to really significant buying opportunities. 1907 until today, 51 of these events that I just listed. It's a long list. The average downdraft, if you look at all those events, and these and the average days to sell off were anywhere from 2 or 3 days to 2 or 3 weeks. So it's a big event, and then you get this sell-off that lasts for a relatively short period of time, a couple days or a couple of weeks. And here's what happens. After that downdraft stops, 22 days later, on average, so by the way, the average downdraft is about 7%. Some are a lot worse than that. Some are not nearly as bad as that. 22 days later, post-market sell-off, markets are up, on average, almost 4%. 63 days later, markets on average, a little over 5%. 126 days later, markets up almost 9%. So in most cases, time quickly, not just, doesn't take forever. Time really quickly heals these wounds. The market digests all of this change. I expect the same thing to happen here. Now, how's this going to impact your 401k? The answer depends on, of course, how you're invested. If your 401k contains a mix of U.S. stocks and U.S. bonds, the impact of this current market sell-off that's still not over yet will be greatly mitigated. However, if you've got a bunch of international holdings or target date funds that are typically heavily weighted towards international, and you look at your 401k statement, it's not going to look very good at the end of the month. And this has come up over the last few months. We talk a lot about these target date funds, and I'm a big fan of target date funds for a lot of reasons. One, I'd rather people be diversified than not, and not just in multiple companies, but multiple sectors: U.S. large and U.S. small and U.S. mid, international emerging markets, U.S. bonds, international bonds. I'd rather see that than somebody who is not diversified and betting on one particular area. However, one thing that has bothered me to some extent about target date funds, and I've talked to this, I've had many meetings over the last, let's call it year or two, folks will come in and they'll say, hey, I've got all this money in a target date fund. And I say, well, that's pretty good. It's better than a lot of other ways you could go as an investor. But one thing about target date funds is they're very heavy international. And I pulled a couple of examples here. So the Vanguard Target 2025. So that means you're planning on retiring in about 9-10 years. It's about two-thirds stock, a third bond. So 67% stock, 33% bond. That's the overall mix. 40% of the whole pie is U.S. stock. But a full 26% is international. Looking at some of these target date funds, you didn't get a lot of protection on Friday. A lot of these target date funds were down a full 3%, even though they're supposedly diversified. A true U.S. bias or U.S. stock bond portfolio was down more like anywhere between 1% and 2% on Friday. So still down. Just because you're out of international doesn't mean you're totally protected from the oscillation of these markets. But truly diversified portfolio that wasn't heavy international didn't get hit nearly as bad as what we saw. Remember, a lot of these international indices were down in the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9% range on Friday alone. So international certainly is a concern and will continue to be that way for some time. The T. Rowe Price Target Retirement Date Fund 2025, same thing, 26% international. The Fidelity Freedom 2025, another target date fund, 23% international. So be careful with these target date funds. I love the fact that they're diversified and it's a low-cost way to have your assets not in any one particular asset class, and they migrate to be slightly more conservative over time, which investors typically forget to do. So I like all those components. What concerns me to a little bit about these target date funds is they really seem very, many of them are heavy, heavy international. That's one thing to really take a look at. If you are US-based, if you're high-quality dividend-paying stocks, Friday's carnage wasn't that bad. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. We still want to go over number three on my list. What does it mean for the U.S. economy? Number four, what's next for the U.K.? Number five, what should you do now as an investor here in the United States? But I do want to go to the phones here. We've had callers waiting for a little while. Of course, the number 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Of course, this morning, we're talking about Brexit, the aftermath of Brexit, what it means for you as an investor, and trying to unravel all the uncertainty around this new political regime that's happening in the European Union. Let's go to the phones here. Tara joins us from Decula. Tara, good morning. Welcome to the show. How can we help?
Good morning, Wes.
Or maybe you just have a comment. Who knows? What's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to say, and you brought it up, but it's kind of one of your points about number five. What do you do now? I think that this is, you just explained it really well, but it's an opportunity to say, okay, look, think about it this way. Instead of panicking, this is an opportunity to buy a stock that you might want that's on sale instead of thinking, oh my gosh, the market's going to crash or it's down, or it's an opportunity to go in, buy some stock, and then, like you just said, 90 days, 120 days. Now you're back up.
How old are you, Tara?
I'm 46.
And you're in the perfect range here where that is so, so unbelievably true. The younger you are, well, thank you. I'm glad that you do. And I appreciate you calling, but you're right. And I think Tara brings up a really good point. What makes this a little complicated for folks, and this goes back to the emotion of being an investor. And by the way, let me preview, next week I'm going to have an interview on with Daniel Crosby, PhD, who wrote a book about the emotion of investing and how impactful that is on your long-term returns. And I encourage you to listen to the Daniel Crosby interview. Fantastic fellow. He lives here in Atlanta now, just moved here. But I did an interview with him about the emotion of investing. And that's, Tara, what makes all this really, to some extent, it makes it difficult. And but if you are younger, and every time we have these major sell-offs and these major corrections, if you're 20 and 30 and 40 and even 50, and you still have a long way to go, this is 100% a good thing for investors. The last thing you want to have happen is the market, if you're accumulating and accumulating, is to float around an all-time high for the next 5 years. Because you're buying at a market high, and you don't ever get an opportunity to buy on these dips. If we never had these dips, it would make investing really difficult. So this is one of those dips. And Tara, you bring up a really good point. And it's even the younger you are, the more valid that statement is. The closer you are to retirement, the more diversification should already be part of the equation. You are tuned in to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. I did a 10-minute video, Brexit update, what you should do if you don't have time to listen to the full Money Matters. It's on Facebook. It's on our Facebook page, Wes Moss Money Matters. All you have to do is like it or follow on Facebook, and there's a video there that you can watch and digest what all this means in a very short period of time. You can also go to wesmoss.com. Straight ahead, more Money Matters here on WSB.
Here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. We've got an awful lot happening here this morning. We're covering Brexit, what it means for you and your investments. Number one, what's it mean for U.S. markets? Two, how does it impact the 401k that you have? Three, what does it mean for the U.S. economy? Four, what's next for the U.K.? And five, what should you do now as a U.S. investor? That article that I did, Five Ways of Brexit Impacts Your Investments, it's on the AJC. It's on AJC.com now. It was in the paper this weekend. What is also really interesting is that we had a major stress test come out, the results of a major stress test for the U.S. banks here in the United States, and that just was released this week. Ironically, in the same week that European banks are down 8, 10, 15% in any given day on Friday, the U.S. banks, even though they got hit on Friday, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Goldman, Citigroup, State Street, they passed these stress tests with flying colors. So the banks here in the United States, ironically, are in better capital shape than they've been in a very long time, possibly ever. So we have some very, we have some fundamentals that do look good here in the U.S. Part of the reason why it's a little scarier to be heavily weighted to international investments right now. When we have, in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll get to the phones. I know we have a lot of calls on hold. We'll do that in the 10 o'clock hour, coming up straight ahead on Money Matters right here on WSB.